Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart Live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. And don't forget to leave a feedback on the voicemail. You may even be on my show. I want to take this opportunity to thank every one of my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping those nuggets to help you live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Reliable Cars, Terry Ingram Sr., CNO and owner, too blessed to be stressed. Well, my listeners, I have the most awesome guest for you today. This guy going to be dropping some nuggets for you, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about him. His name is Gregory Miller from West Virginia. I mean, how is it likely that I know somebody in West Virginia? I'm way, way away from it. But, you know, that's how God do things for you. He send you the right people, okay? So Gregory wrote a letter, and this is what the letter says. To whom this may concern, I'm writing this letter concerning the fact that I had to register as something that I know that I'm not. Yeah, he's a registered sex offender, okay? So this is what happened to Gregory. In June 1992, he met a lady named Michelle Storkey, and she was pregnant with someone else's child. He and Michelle and several other people indulged in smoking crack cocaine for about an hour. She soon addressed me by saying that she had never had sex with a black man. I bet you she got a treat, right, Gregory?
It wasn't even October 31st, but it was a treat for her.
Okay. So we went over to her apartment and had consensual sex. And between June 1992 and September the 2nd, 1992, I had sex with her several times. So on September the 2nd, 1992, they had another consensual sexual encounter. And about 3 minutes into the act, she said, stop. But I didn't stop until about 30 to 45 seconds later. Well, that's a lot of other stuff that happened in between that situation that I can only address audio and not write it because my hand ain't got that much strength in my hand to put all this down. But I can tell you this much. I am not a rapist, and that the rape kit came back incomplete. So with that being said, he felt that he was being held on an injustice by the grace of the judicial system. That may have only gone my way too far beyond my life. It has caused great trauma in his life, even to this present day. People that register as sex offenders, for the most part, end up offending again. I never offended in the first place. So Gregory, you're African-American. Welcome to the show.
That's absolutely true. I sound like it, but I am.
I know, man. When I talked to Greg, I'm like, you sure you're African-American? But I do want to take this opportunity for you coming on my show and taking out time of your day to do this interview with me. Now, Gregory, tell my listeners the whole story. You're African-American. And what race is Michelle?
Caucasian persuasion lady. She's, white or Caucasian.
And what state are you in?
West Virginia.
And how did y'all get to do sex for a few months and she all of a sudden didn't want it anymore, just say stop?
Well, I'm going to tell you, my cousin, he's like 10 years older than me, and where we had sex at that incident on September 2nd, 1992, was at his house because she was babysitting for him, and he went to Roanoke, Virginia, which is like 80 miles from Lewisburg. And regardless of what they went for, but they did some things that were illegal, you know, drug transaction. And she called me and wanted me to come up there and see her. And I came up there with my cousin, my other cousin, and we went up there, and he left, and we had sex. And she dripped semen off from her, because I never got an orgasm. I'm just going to keep it real. Ain't no sense to pull no punches. It must have came from her, and it got on a couch, and the couch was like a cream-colored couch. And I know when I left the house to go call my friend to come get me, because they didn't have a phone, and it was before the days of cell phones, I walked up to the highway and called my cousin to come pick me up on a payphone. So he was coming, so I forgot my hat. This was crazy. I had a Charlotte, North Carolina, Charlotte Hornets hat that I won at the State Fair like 2 weeks before this incident. And I went back to get it. I said, oh, my hat. So I went back to get it, and I heard water. When I went to the window, went back to the door, I heard water running. And I said, it's Greg. I knocked on the door. It's Greg. Because this incident happened in the so-called rape incident happened in my cousin's apartment. And the other times we had sex happened in her apartment next door. Well, anyway, water was running. I said, I forgot my hat. And she was like, okay. And if it was me, I would have never let me back in the door if I had done something to you. You know what I'm saying? Definitely would have not done that. But she let me back in. I grabbed my hat and I came back. And one of my friends told me that they was like, they smoked crack after all this. And she said something. So he said, what happened to my couch? And she said, oh, Greg did this and that, whatever it was. And one of my friends said they waited hours before they called the police. And then the police came and got arrested me at my job. I was working at a Hardee's restaurant, and they came and arrested me the next day and said that. And they didn't even handcuff me or nothing, because they was kind of doubting it. They knew. And that's basically what happened.
Okay, so the police arrest you, and did they lock you up, or they just went and arrested you and took you downtown?
They locked me up. They took me downtown and asked me what happened. I wrote a statement and told them. And I shouldn't have done it. I should have never done nothing, because I didn't know. I was ignorant to the law at the time. So I should have never did it. Because, you know, when they say that, read you Miranda rights, you got the right to remain silent.
Right.
I didn't. And I wrote them a letter. And when the lawyer, Mr. Paul Detch, said, you should have never did that. And I said, well, I'm just telling the truth about what happened. Why not? The truth is the truth. So, because ain't nothing happened. You know, maybe when she said stop and I didn't stop, I didn't stop right off. But the thing is, the point is this, it was consensual from the beginning. And like I said, no force was made, and the rape kit came back incomplete. It wasn't negative. It wasn't positive. It was blank.
Blank?
It was blank. It's in my discovery. Like, anybody, you can get that discovery. Anybody can get it. It costs probably $25 or something, but anybody can get it. I can get it for free myself. But yeah, it came back blank. When the West Virginia State Police did the kit, it came back. Nothing was on it. It just had my name, and I guess her name on it, and it was nothing. That's it.
Okay, so you go to court. You plead not guilty. You have a jury trial?
No, I plead because my lawyer, he used the kind of like the, what was the name of that movie back in the day? Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird. He used that analogy and said, I know, he said, you in West Virginia in Greenberg County, and you're black and she's white. And my mom was present at the time. The other person was present, Mr. Lawrence Cooley, but he was, he's dead now. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Detch said, but I know you ain't do it. And his prosecutor and them know you ain't do it. And everybody knows, even a cop, his name was Crump, Officer Crump, said he knew I didn't do it. And, they just pretty much gave me a lynching, a public lynching, like they used to do back in the day during Jim Crow, back in them days when a black man was accused of raping a white woman. They used to lynch him. So they basically lynched me modern day by putting me in prison. And I took a plea because I was scared. I was scared. I ain't one of. I was facing 10 to 25 years. And he said, "Well, if you took his plea, I can probably get probation." But they were trying to get me in trouble and stuff while I was on the probationary period before probation, and I got in trouble. And they went ahead. The judge went ahead, and he said, "Well, my brother was going. He asked the judge, could I come to Detroit? You know, and be on probation up there." And the judge said, "Well, the good don't outweigh the bad." And I ain't had no bad reputation. I had, you know, at the time. But that stuff made me have a bad reputation in the small town of West Virginia. I lived here from Lewisburg, West Virginia. So that's basically, you know, the answer to your question.
So were you born in West Virginia or not?
Yep, Lewisburg. It's a famous little, White Sulphur Springs is 9 miles away to Greenbrier Resort. It's famous, world-known five-star resort. Yeah, and I mean, I could tell, God gave me a sense about people that I could tell they got a feeling, most of the time, if they got a feeling towards African-Americans. And I got a sense, and usually most of the time I'm right because of me growing up around that stuff.
Okay, so was Michelle, well, since you took a plea, well, I'm sure, did she get up on the stand and testify that when she told you to stop, you didn't stop?
No. Well, when we did the preliminary hearing, like 10 days later after I first got arrested, so I figured it was around the 12th of September 1992, somewhere in that time period, she got up there and we did the preliminary. They dropped my bond down, and my sister from North Carolina, Winston-Salem at the time, she was living there. She sent me $500 bond. It was $5,000 cash. No $5,000 surety or $500 that my sister sent and got me out, and I was out. And people, I had threats. People was like, "Man, you better watch out. They talk about they're going to do something." I said, "But they can come try to do what they want to do." And I was out, like, I was out of jail over a year before I finally went to jail. I was out like 14 or 15 months. I'll tell you exactly when I went back to jail. November 5th of 1993.
Wow.
And the sad part about it, that's when my so-called my stepdad, he really wasn't my stepdad, but I considered him Mr. Cooley. That's the day he died, too, back in 2002. The same day.
So did you ever see Michelle after you got back out of jail?
Nope. No, one time I seen her, I was walking downtown to the grocery store, little mom and pop store, and I seen her one time across the street, but I took a V-turn because I couldn't be around her. Mm-hmm. If I said anything to her, even anybody ever said anything to her, they was going to revoke my bond, and I would have went back to jail. Mm-hmm. So that was the only time I seen her, maybe probably about 3 or 4 weeks after the incident happened.
So did your lawyer advise you if you are found guilty that you would have to be on a sex register?
At the time, they didn't have it. I think it came in 1995 or 6. At the time.
And now, how long you've been on the sex register for? What, 30 years now?
Well, that since 96, so what? That would be 25.
Okay, explain to my listeners how that works. Being on a sex register in your state.
Okay, in my state, I've already been violated for failure to register because when I was getting high, I didn't care. Who cared? When you're getting high, you don't care about none of that, you know? And at the time, like I said, it was trauma to my life. So I got a 1 to 5, and all this is a paperless crime. It ain't no victim. It's a paper crime. It ain't no victim. So you got to register. Like, if you get out of jail, you got 3 days to register, go back and register, even if you're going back to your home address. And if you move, you got 10 working days, which is basically 2 weeks. But it's like if you was at a medical place, like I was in rehab, then you don't have to because you're a client. You don't have to register then, like when you're like if you was in a hospital rehab or not. It's just a lot of pressure. You got to register a boat. You got to register your car. You got to register property and all that. If I go to school, want to go to college or trade school, I got to do that. And it's just a bunch of bull. And like Mr. Dett said, pretty soon, if I spit across the street or want to go to the grocery store, they're going to probably make a law up on that. It's just a bunch of bull. And even the state police up in Kanawha County, which is Charleston, West Virginia, in Kanawha County, there's two females Miss Bird, Trooper Burgess and Trooper Paulie, and they said they know I shouldn't even be on the list no more. And this is coming from two women that are state troopers. They know that I shouldn't be. And I've had a few other ones that said it, male men, but usually it doesn't come from Caucasian males. They usually got that envy towards us, man. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad, man. It just needs to end.
I definitely agree with you. You know, I tell my listeners when I'm talking about the criminal justice reform, because I had a cousin was in your same situation. And right as I got ready to get him off the sex offender register, he stood up in front of a train man. And it just broke my heart, because here you got the state dictating to you how you live, where you live. You went in prison, and it's a thing in North Carolina with this the SBI here in North Carolina. He didn't even rape the woman, but of course he was in your situation. She was a Caucasian woman, you know, doing the drug scene, and she ends up calling rape on him, and it was before the, you know, like you, before the sex offender status came into play. So I'm like, that should be illegal. It wasn't a law.
That happens a lot up here in West Virginia with in the drug scene with prostitutes, white prostitutes. I would say, guys rape me. And I look at it like this. I think it's a contract, because, I mean, I won't be messing with no prostitutes, but I see it happen. And since I'm in the street, when I was in the streets, I see where, you know, do this, okay? So if a man offers a woman drugs or money for sex, then the woman should be obligated to pay, because it's like a contract, basically. So mm-hmm. they're violating their contract, and then the guys, I don't know if they really take it or not, but a lot of times I know they don't, and then the girls scream rape on them.
Exactly. It's, I'm dealing with a few cases right now with that same situation. It's just, like me and Mr. Paul talked about, you know, the situation I'm dealing with right now is the guy was having sex with this college student and for drugs, okay? So he wanted to, you know, not just settle down. She got some feelings for him. So she calls him one day, and boom, another female is there. So, you know, she runs down to the police station. She goes home and washes her clothes. She destroys all the evidence, take all the, you know, messages off the phone that she was saying, well, I'm coming to do this to you and that. And he's pulling 36 years.
Wow.
So, you know what I had to tell him, Gregory?
Serious?
Look, dude, you better go somewhere and sit down. Because,
man,
rape.
Sitting right now. I ain't standing. I'm very calm. I'm about to stand up and run from the world. I'm escape from the world or something.
But I tell myself, you better go somewhere and sit down and shut your mouth up, because rape here in the state of North Carolina is a life sentence. First degree rape, you get life. So I'm like, you just need to go somewhere and sit down, and, you know, I'll try to help you overcome this situation. But, you know, you have to be careful when you're dealing with women's emotion. So with that being said, Gregory, I mean, you said the guy came in after you, and then a few days later, she goes down to, no, they called the police that night, right?
Yeah, about hours later after they smoked up the crack.
Now, did she have sex with him?
No. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. The first time, no, it was just me. And every other time, but I just know that they came because he has a girlfriend, and the girlfriend went, and she was babysitting while they went and made a drug run in Roanoke, Virginia, because it's a lot cheaper in compared to where it was, where I was at in Lewisburg. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. Drugs are expensive there. And if you go to Roanoke, Virginia, or Charleston, West Virginia, you can get them cheaper. And he knew some people over in Roanoke, so they went over there and bought 2 8-balls of crack, I heard. I wasn't with them at the time. And the sad part is, one of my friends, he's dead. He just got in a car wreck 3 or 4 years ago and died. He was the one saying they was contemplating on stuff about me, and he was shaking his head, but he was kind of scared to say anything about it. Because they told another story and tried to tell her to say I raped her and stuff. So
now, did he wait with her till the police got there?
No. I don't have no idea. I just know they came and picked me up the next day at work and tried to embarrass me at Hardee's while during lunch break.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and like around 10, like from 10 to 2, that's when it was real busy, when he had a rush at the Hardee's that I worked in Lewisburg, West Virginia. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I remember like it just happened like minutes ago. I can remember detail. I got a good memory, so.
Yeah, well, I always ask my guest, Gregory, this one question. What was this the lowest point of your life, and how has that propelled you to where you are today?
I'll tell you, that's probably the second lowest. My nephew died. That's the lowest, back on December 13th, 2008. He was only 35. But, yeah, it's the second lowest. But as far as my life goes, yeah, it's the lowest. But it ain't. That's why I joke around a lot, and, you know, and I'll talk to you and you laugh because I got to keep my spirits up, man, because I be down in trauma, and I ain't never thought about killing myself or nothing like that. God forbid, but my spirit be dead sometimes because I'm like, man, what can I do, man? Well, golly, even if I did do it, daggone, it's been almost 30 years ago when the incident happened, and even, you know, it was consensual. And it just got me down, and I got skills, man. I got a lot of skills and talent, and it's hold me back. And then people feel some type of way, and they be like, oh, you a child molester or something, because they want to put one size fits all on it mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'm like, nah, brother, I ain't a molester, and I ain't none of that. I ain't a hater, and I'm not nothing like that. I'm an inspirator, a motivator, and a determinator, and I'm trying to be, but that stuff holds me back, and I can't do certain things because of jobs, can't get certain jobs, can't live certain places, and it ain't right. And the thing is, my uncle, he calls me a pimp. I'm like, I ain't no pimp. He said, man, I know you ain't did none of that stuff. He said, all these girls be liking you, and then they be like, when girls find out, they be like, I know you're not that person, the ones that are open-minded and not want to hate. Because then sometimes I've had two girlfriends, and the messed up part about they was black. At that, they said, they got mad at me and called me child molester. And I was like, man, I ain't none of that. And they knew it, and they know it ain't true, and they had been with me for months. But then they got, you know, a woman scorn is bad, man.
Yes,
they get
it
mad
is.
At you. They get, exactly, I know for sure. And like them two times the black girls called me that name, child molester. I was like, man, you are crazy. And I went to jail. I ended up going to jail that same day both times. But, you know, because, man, this is it's hurting me, man. But you know what? God got a better plan. God got a good plan. He introduced me to you, through Edna. Thank God. Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all. I got love for both of y'all. That's the truth.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here to help get you on the right path and be all that God put you here to be because, like, you know, me and you talked, You're very gifted. You're very gifted. So this is a storm you're passing through right now. You're going to pass through it. You're not going to stay stuck in it.
I know. And I used to didn't think it. But even when I was in the storm, I'm like, man, they be mad at me. They've come to the point where, like, I've had Charleston Police Department hating on me. I had one of them say, you're a child molester. I said, man, I'll kick your ass. And I said, ask your mama if I'm a child molester or this and that. And I said, and if she did, I'll wake her up and tell her and show her. I did. And I'm just going to say what I said, you know. And they be hating because I've had nice-looking, very nice-looking Caucasian ladies that got good jobs liking me, and they can't stand it.
Yeah, that is a problem here in America, for sure.
Yeah, and they be like, man, I can't believe that he got that black cloud over his head, and they still like him because they be like, man, I'm not a bad-looking guy either, so I'm just going to keep it real. And I'm 55 years old, and I don't look my age, and I'm in good shape. God has blessed me with that. And they be like, man, I can't stand him. You know, I had this lady that was a millionaire, and her they own a funeral home, and that's what scared me because they could burn my body up. And I'm serious, and he pulled a gun on me. And they said, you look, her mama said, you'll never become part of this family. I said, I don't want to be part of this family.
No, that's right.
She's the one that came on me. She came to me. I didn't come to her. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, she's had like 8 or 9 abortions before I met her because they was all black babies. They told her if she ever had a black child or married a black man that she would be disowned out of the family and off the, you know, what is it when somebody dies? I can't think of the name. Off the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, off the wheel. Yeah, I've had all this kind of stuff happen to me the whole time. And my relationships don't last long because they're like, you ain't gonna mess with him, you know, because I've been with some richy folks in my life, so. And then they'd be like, you ain't gonna mess with him. So I'm like King Solomon got 100 million wives.
So, Gregory, why are you still in the state of West Virginia is what I want to know, and I'm sure my listeners want to know, too.
Because of the registration.
So you can't move to another state? And
I can, but when I go, they're worse than my lifestyle living. I was like, man, that I was living. I'm not living like that now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I off of me, I go where I want. But I know that registrations are different in other states. They're worse. Oh. Like in Georgia, life sentence if you fail to register in the state of Georgia.
Wow. That is
like 10 to life, I think. I looked it up. Because I was like, I'm going to go to Georgia and meet Tyler Perry and T.I. and them because I got that skill. I know I do. If Tyler Perry meets me, he going to be putting me in a movie. And I guarantee you, I'm going to be the first one to smack my dead. She going to get shot. She going to use that daggone pistol she got in her daggone pocketbook.
I know that's right. But at least you know your gift and you're making a plan to, you know, get that into fruition. And that's what I like about you because – you know, even though you have this label on you, you're still moving, you know, pressing on forward to the mark where God has placed you on this earth to do.
Yeah. I say this to you. I got the Tupac. When people say things about me, I say, yep, like Tupac and Kobe. And now Bill Cosby all of a sudden and Mike Tyson. And Mike, I still don't believe he did either. I was kind of going both ways with Mike Tyson, but Mike Tyson has changed a lot. I'll be watching his apps and stuff, and he is a God-fearing man, and he is very humble because he says he takes – I was watching something the other day on him. He said you got to take a self-inventory of yourself every day. He said, I wonder if I treated this woman wrong. He said, because I've done women wrong. I've done men wrong. He said, no, that heavyweight championship stuff is garbage. That's what he said, and that made me cry. I was like, Mike, it's really changed. Everybody made Mike out to be a monster.
Yeah.
Because he was a world champion. He was the most dangerous, feared man on the earth, you know, by most people. And I was like, is he really like that? And man, he's got a heart of, he can box. That's God's gift to knock people out. And he still is. He's coming back now. He's 55, the same age as me. And he's strong, hitting just like he was 20-something. And, man, you would never believe it, man. But people want to put marks on us and status on us and bad labels. And like I said, I'm like Tupac and Kobe. I ain't do it, and it's all to it.
So you sticking to your story, huh?
Because it's the truth. That's why I want you to label the truth.
And, you know, doing the criminal justice system over these years, what I found out is they don't like the truth. Because I think, and I may suggest this to some people that's in a situation in a court, go in there and tell a lie and see how it's going to come out for you. Because they do not like the truth.
Mm-hmm. You remember that movie, The Negotiator? Samuel L. Jackson was in.
Uh-huh.
He said, "I'm a police officer. I'm a professional liar." He was telling his wife that.
Yeah, I remember that. And look at the Sam Shaw redemption. Look how long that man stayed in prison. He was like, "I'm just going in there and tell him I did it," and that's when they let him out.
You know, what the sad part is, like I was mentioning, Trooper Paulie and Trooper. Burgess, they're sad. They feel bad for me, man. And she's always happy. Every time I talk to Burgess, I would call and just talk to her, Trooper Burgess, and she'd hear my voice, which is very distinct, as you know.
Yes.
She would be like, that Greg Miller start laughing. And she's like, man, she went one time, one of my friends, he's dead now too. I got a lot of dead friends here lately. Golly. Like, and his name was Joe. He went down to register too one time, and me and him became friends, and he was like, he went down and talked to her about me and mentioned my name, and she's like, he said she had a big smile on her face and was like, he's something else. He said she told me, I like him. He's good, got a good heart and stuff. That's what he told me. And she told him that she knows that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Okay, so being on a sex register for 30 years, I mean, how do you do that day in, day? Because I know the restrictions are just so overwhelming. How are you overcoming that, Greg?
Just being Greg. And, well, I just got to be careful because I don't care. My life is an open book to a certain extent, but I don't want certain people to know because they feel some type of way. Because when you, I mean, listen, you look at Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey was the lefty, but from the age of 8, 13. Now she's a billionaire and probably the most influential person in the world besides maybe the Pope. That's about the only person. Now, what if she would have died? What if somebody killed her? She wouldn't have been who she is. You know what I'm saying? So I know, you know, a person that kills, if you get killed, you ain't got no chance in life. But if you get, if it does happen to somebody where they really truly did get molested or sexually assaulted or whatever, they can come up out of that. It's a trauma for them, but they, at least they got a chance to come up out of it. If you did, you did.
Right.
So, you know, I look at me, I'm like, I got confidence in myself because I know I ain't did nothing. I'm standing like the hurricane. When he went to prison, he would, about the first couple of months, he would never put on a prison outfit, remember? He stayed in that suit. And they had him in the hole, and that's how I feel, because he was innocent, too.
Yeah, and I mean, look at Tyler Perry. I mean, he just took his life and just made billions. No, he's a billionaire now, so.
Yeah, he's a billionaire now. Another brother that's a billionaire.
Right. But it's
man, $1 million is a lot of money, but now it seems like it ain't as much as it was 20 years ago, but it's still a lot though. I'll take it.
Yeah, I call myself Trillionaire Monroe. I'm like, the billions, like you say, is not enough. So I'm gonna have to go on up to the trillionaire status, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look, Greg, I would like for you to tell my listeners four nuggets, well, three or four nuggets to help them live a better life.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, stay positive. Number one, though, is God. Because God is going to walk through with it regardless. Even if you ain't saved or you got God in your life, he's still there with you because, you know, people that do drugs and stuff and die from heroin overdoses and stuff, but they come back. God lets them come back. That's one. Always trust God. Number two, stay positive. Because if you stay negative, you can kill yourself, commit suicide, and all that. And three, be grateful. Be grateful for life. Be grateful that you got to walk. Be grateful that you got to get up and eat and cook your own food, because there's some people that can't do things for themselves, you know what I'm saying? But they grateful too that they're still alive. And number four, smile.
What was
even when you don't want to smile. Huh?
What was
smile?
Oh,
smile. Okay. You know what? That's the only exercise that's a positive exercise for the muscles.
Okay.
That takes less muscles to you than a frown. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So you, when you being angry and mad, you use some more muscles.
Right.
Than you are. It's the negative. That don't make sense, but it's the truth because God made it to be that way.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So my listeners, I hope you wrote those nuggets down because those were some great nuggets Greg dropped on you. And is there any way, do you have social media? Yeah, you have social media. Tell them how to get up with you on social media because, I mean, it's a lot of stuff you're going through right now. And, you know, you have to.
Me. I said, there's a lot of people. I just got one today, and it was a hacker. I believe, because I said something to them, and they said, boom, blocked me immediately. So I'm glad they did. But I'm Gregory Miller, and I got the Twin Towers standing behind me on Facebook, Gregory Miller, and I am black, and I got some reading glasses on, and I'm saying in the video, united we stand, divided we fall. That's why them two Twin Towers came down, because we divided as a country.
Yes.
And Mr. Bin Laden showed them America, say, look, y'all are divided, and that's why he knocked them Twin Towers down. No, sometimes good comes out of tragedy. It will, because I'm in a tragic state right now in my life, but guess what? I'm coming through, and I'm going to get through. So, you know, you can get me at Gregory Miller, but that's how you see them two Twin Towers behind me, and I say, united we stand, divided we fall. It's not no negative thing. I'm like taking a knee like the Colin Kaepernick did, because we need to stand for every life. There ain't, like my uncle Honeycutt, Marvin Honeycutt said, it ain't one race, it ain't two races, it's the human race.
Because
my blood, I'm O positive, and a white person or Chinese or any other race of person is O positive, and they need my blood, they can get it and use it. So if that was the case, it wouldn't be true. God ain't playing.
Well, they ain't going to know where the blood came from anyway, right?
The motherland, huh?
Right. I tell you. Well, listen, it has been such an honor to have you as a guest on my show. So what does the future hold for Gregory Miller?
I'm going to Atlanta as soon as you get this stuff off of me. And I'm going to, that's where I got some family members down there. I want to go back down south, but I don't want to go live in Georgia and get caught up until I get off of this thing. And just to be positive, I'm going to make my life better. It's time to turn it up. Don't simmer, but turn it up on all the way high.
Yeah, man. The key is always positioning yourself to live a better life. And I think that's what...
Stay away from drugs.
Yeah, a lot of people get stuck there because they don't want to position themselves to make that purpose they're put here on this earth to do, I think.
And I appreciate this interview. It's a blessing and an honor for you to interview me with your great, you're this celebrity. Thank you for putting me in New York City. Yeah, like that dude said with that pasta, that pace, pick up the pace. He said, New York City. Okay, thank you. New York City gets it all.
Yes, it does. It does. It's a place that never sleep. And like my coach say, that's where the money at. Okay. All right, Greg. Well, again, I do thank you for taking the opportunity to be on my show. And I'm broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart Live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. And definitely drop me a feedback on that voicemail. Like I said, you may even be on my show. You never, never know where this show is going to take you, okay? Again, I want to thank my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping these nuggets to help you live your best life. Also, don't forget to go to lindamonroe.com, order my book, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. I'll send you a copy with that. And listen, if you can't read or don't like to read, guess what? I got it in audio for you as well. I'll read it to you. This show is sponsored by Rashad Reliable Cards, Terry Ingram Sr., CEO and owner. Man, I tell you, you are, listeners, too blessed to be stressed. Okay? That's a nugget you need to write and post it every day where you can see it. So when you get up, just think about, you're too blessed to be stressed. Again, Greg, I thank you for being a guest as well. And I feel that greatness is right on you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, until next time, the same station, this time next week, the Linda Monroe Show. God loves you, and so do I. All is well, and be blessed.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.